Welcome to the Government Technology Insider Podcast. I'm your host, Matt Langan. The military is modernizing its communication infrastructure, highlighted by the DoD's private 5G deployment strategy, which was released at the end of 2024. Private 5G networks offer secure, high-performance connectivity, helping safeguard sensitive military data while enhancing mobility and optimizing mission-critical applications. As a supplement to traditional solutions such as Wi-Fi, private wireless delivers security, reliability, and integrates with existing defense technologies. And while misconceptions about 5G in defense persist, ongoing advancements in the spectrum allocation and interoperability are helping shape its role in the future of military communications. And in this episode, Chris Russell, who's the distinguished architect at Verizon, and Narendra Tilwani, who's sales development and customer solutions at Nokia Federal Solutions, explore the transformative impact private 5G can have on defense operations. I hope you enjoy our conversation today. And Chris and Narendra, welcome and thanks for joining us today.
Hey, thank you, Matt. Nice to be here.
Thank you, Matt.
Yeah, thank you both for your time. Really appreciate it. And let's start at the top and talk about challenges. So what are some of the primary connectivity challenges on military bases? And we'll start with Chris.
Hey, that's a great question. As you can imagine, the military bases have been in service for many years, decades. And so with that comes aging infrastructure that's tough to stay on top of. So, you know, those are challenges. You know, connectivity that's been in place for years is certainly in need of replacement or upgrade. And so that's one of the things that we'll probably be able to talk about more today.
Excellent. Thanks, Chris. Narendra, anything to add there when it comes to challenges?
Yeah, thank you, Matt. Really, the way I look at this is connectivity has today become an essential utility that enables all people and all communities to thrive and survive. And our military bases are very much like a small community with our warfighters and families residing there. So providing them connectivity is critical, and one of the key challenges that we've seen beyond the deployment limitations that Chris talked about was the network security. See, these bases are prime targets for cyber attacks, and we need to make sure that all information that flows over there has high network security, because there's really no room for error.
Okay, great. Let's switch and talk about private wireless. If you don't mind, can you give us a brief explanation of really what it is and how it differs from commercial wireless networks, particularly in a defense setting? And again, we'll start with Chris on this one.
Thanks, Matt. I think the simplest way to understand what private wireless is to look at it as a cellular LAN. So if you think of wired LAN, you think of Wi-Fi, cellular is an additional and natural extension of that for different use cases and different reasons. So it takes advantages of the same characteristics that we enjoy in commercial networks and then be able to apply them to a private setting.
Okay, great. Narendra, anything to add to that one?
Yeah, I think Chris covered it well. The only way I would put it is, for my listeners, is if you think of private wireless, it's basically building your own cellular network where you are the builder, you are the user, and you are the maintainer of the network, as opposed to renting it from the operator as a service. Essentially, everything else remains the same.
Okay, great. So I have a comparative question for you all. So what are the differences between private wireless and Wi-Fi in supporting the connectivity of military applications? And how could they complement each other to enhance connectivity, say, on bases? And we'll start with Narendra on this one.
That's a key question, Matt. See, there's a common misconception that Wi-Fi and private wireless are competing, where we really think they're actually complementing each other. See, private wireless and Wi-Fi have some distinct characteristics which make them suitable really for different type of deployments and applications. And we have to really look at it from a deployment perspective. If you talk about like large spaces outdoors or even logistic hubs or perimeter security, then private wireless can provide a wider area of coverage which is more secure and can provide low latency features that can support these use cases. In contrast, if we think about indoor living spaces or classrooms where performance guarantee is not a mandatory requirement, then Wi-Fi can be a great fit to support these high density indoor locations. And the most effective approach that we think for our military bases would be a combination of using both the technologies. See, private wireless can provide the secure wide outdoor coverage tool, and Wi-Fi can be more for offloading the high density indoor traffic. And standards are already defined actually to have both these technologies seamlessly work with each other.
Okay, great. Thanks, Narendra. Chris, anything to add to that one?
I think Narendra covered it. The other things that I might add would be some of the differences on how a 5G device authenticates versus, which would be tied to the SIM. So it's device authentication versus a user and an SSID and Wi-Fi. So that adds a different level of control. Additionally, by use case, we're able to utilize some tools in cellular networks such as QCI or 5QI, take advantage of scheduling. This kind of creates networks for different use cases that is kind of unique in the cellular industry. Finally, is that the range that you can have with high-powered radios, the mobility between the cells as you set those up, all lends itself to cellular complementing Wi-Fi, like Narendra mentioned.
All right, thanks, Chris. So what are some of the biggest misconceptions about private 5G in defense, and how do they compare to the reality of its capabilities? And we'll actually stick with Chris on this one.
Well, I think the first thing I would say is that it's important to understand where to use private 5G and where to leverage existing commercial network. You have services oftentimes throughout bases and across the continental United States, as well as OCONUS. And you can take advantage of those commercial networks for the right level of data. Obviously, private 5G should be reserved for most critical and needed solutions that require higher levels of security and some of those capabilities that you get when you add private 5G.
Oh, great. Thanks, Chris. Appreciate those insights. Narendra, anything to add to that one?
Yeah, one thing that I can add around the misconceptions that we've seen is deploying 5G is expensive and it's only meant for large organizations. See, work for 5G actually started almost 10 years back. In 2015 is when we started building the technology framework for this. And over the past 10 years, the technology has matured and there's a large ecosystem of products available. And the economies of scale have resulted in huge price reductions, making it affordable for small and large enterprises. And there's a multitude of form factors available today that can be utilized by all organizations of all sizes for all different applications type. So that's one common misconception that's still out there, which really I want to say is not true.
Okay. So what are some of the approaches for securing private wireless? And we'll go with Narendra.
Thank you, Matt. This is actually a really important question, and I'd like to take the liberty to expand this beyond just technology security, which is just one piece of the entire thing, I think. Security really starts with a secure supply chain. You know, in its last revision, NIST, which is an agency that defines the security specifications for federal agencies, they added supply chain risk management as one of the key set of requirements going forward. So vendors who provide the hardware and the software have to be assessed that it meets those security requirements. And really, security starts at the supply chain, right? Like they say. Once that is confirmed, we then move on to really looking at the physical security of the deployment. Is the access to the architecture well protected against physical intrusions and accesses? That's also a key element to the security of private wireless networks. After meeting those physical security aspects, we need to ensure that there's protection of the operating systems. There are enough rules put in place for identity and access management, and there are authentication mechanisms for remote access management when someone is trying to access them. Then finally, we come to the technology security to make sure that the products that are deployed comply to the standards in terms of the encryption and the integrity mechanisms to make sure that the data is not just protected while in transit, but also when it's at rest.
Okay, thanks, Narendra. So let's talk about spectrum allocation. So how does spectrum allocation impact the deployment of private 5G networks in the military? And what are the key considerations for using government-licensed and lightly licensed spectrum? And we'll start with Chris on this one.
This is an important consideration because spectrum has different qualities, whether you're talking about high bandwidth, which would be considered mid or high range spectrum, such as millimeter wave, versus low bandwidth, which lends itself to long range and solutions such as those intended for IoT. So prescribing the right spectrum for the need is important. And then that means having access to various types for those different use cases is important. And the network that you build can range across that. So, as Verizon, we're able to lend spectrum within all those bands. But like to what you mentioned around government spectrum, as well as lightly licensed spectrum, such as CBRS, that's also an important consideration. The use of either of those will depend on perhaps the importance of your use case as well. How much do you need to rely on its availability? Certain lightly licensed spectrum, such as CBRS, has limitations at times, but it's perfect for other use cases.
Okay, thanks, Chris. Narendra, anything to add to that one?
Yeah, I think Chris covered it well in terms of the cost of having these networks deployed, right? And it also boils down to the fact that when you have commercial spectrum in use, there's a large ecosystem of devices that's already out there. So there's much more options to choose from when the military or government decides to deploy using commercial spectrum, as compared to when you go with a private spectrum like N79, they would have a smaller set of options available when they are trying to deploy or look at an ecosystem of devices. But then it also comes down to what type of control they want. They'll have full control for the spectrum that they own, versus they would have to have an agreement with the commercial operator if they choose to go that route.
Okay. Can each of you share a real-world use case for private 5G in the military environments, let's say from logistics all the way up to mission-critical operations? And we'll start with Navendra on this one.
Yeah, thank you, Matt. So one of the use cases that comes to mind is the smart warehousing use case. So from a smart warehousing, imagine a very large space on a military base. We are talking hundreds of thousands of square feet to a million square feet, which houses large number of equipments, people, sensors that are deployed to do inventory management. In these kind of deployments, if Wi-Fi is chosen for deployment, it may result in a large number of access points, but that would still result in providing some sort of coverage gaps as they transition from one access point to the other access point. In contrast, what we've seen is deploying a private wireless network can simplify not just the architecture, but also provide an enhanced user experience and performance, since there's more ubiquity in the coverage that is achieved. And this really then, in the end, translates to the operational efficiency of warehouse management, which is what we've seen due to this ubiquitous coverage and ability to get real-time data.
Awesome. Thanks, Narendra. Chris, would love to hear your use case.
Yeah, thank you so much. One thing that is important, and that where Wi-Fi or wired is probably impractical or unavailable today, would be in the needs for simulation and training. So just the added safety that using technology today permits the military to use simulation. If you can use cellular to extend the range and capabilities into those field use cases, as well as behind the desk, for example, when you're doing something that might be indoors, that can also take advantage of cellular and some of the capabilities from, as I mentioned before, our mid or high band spectrum. Another consideration would be some of the capabilities that you get from edge intelligence. So from sensors to cameras that might be at the edge or perimeter of a base, AGVs, or even if people movers, if you think of a military version of a Waymo or a robo-taxi, those all can take advantage of the mobility aspects of private 5G.
All right. So how can private 5G networks integrate with existing military communication systems to really ensure interoperability and also, of course, seamless operations? And we'll go with Narendra on this one.
Integrating any new technology with older systems is always desirable, and cellular systems are created based on open standards. Products that are developed using open standards, therefore, shall always inherently be open and can be integrated with other vendors. This reduces the risk of having stovepipe systems that do not really talk to each other. Further, cellular systems have also defined ways of connecting to other non-cellular systems. This is what we call interworking functions in the standards. So this will ensure that any existing military communication systems can be connected to a newly added private wireless systems. You know, Matt, I also want to highlight that private 5G has embraced IP standards. So interoperability and connectivity to any other IP-based networks, which is predominantly what is out there right now, should be seamless and straightforward. As the standards continue to evolve, there are open aspects and API-based approaches that are going to make easy for any umbrella systems to push and pull data to and from these private networks. Lastly, I'll just add that even at the tactical equipment level, we have seen there are products and capabilities available that can allow integration into other mobile ad hoc networks and gateway options that can bridge the gaps to these non-cellular systems.
Okay, so our last question today is all about the path forward. So what steps can military and industry leaders take together to accelerate the adoption of private 5G and really maximize its benefits? And we'll start with Chris.
Thanks, Matt, and I really appreciate the time today. With that in mind, I think one of the most important things, probably the easiest thing to do, is just spend time together, listen to the industry, because the industry is here to educate and share, you know, current and future capabilities of these networks. But then also for us, more importantly, to listen and understand the priority problems that you need to solve. So making sure that we hear from each other and are aware of the needs on base and around the world.
Great. Thanks, Chris. Narendra.
Yeah, thank you, Matt. I think it really boils down to the continued collaboration, like Chris pointed out, right? So private networks are designed as dual-use technology, essentially, and making the adoption of these technologies can be accelerated by making sure the barriers are broken down. There is streamlining of acquisition processes and compliance requirements that can be put in place. And, you know, I know the industry and government have collaborated in the past, and we just need to make sure this collaboration keeps going on.
And thank you, Chris and Narendra, for joining us today. And big thank you to all of our listeners for tuning in. If you're interested in staying up to date on the latest best practices, lessons learned, and proven strategies for leveraging innovative technologies in federal, state, and local government, be sure to visit governmenttechnologyinsider.com. I've been your host, Matt Langan, and until the next time, so long.